Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. It's time to get your Bible, grab a cup of coffee, and we are in the Book of Mark. I'm Gilbert from Red Bluff, California.
And hi, this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
We're in Mark chapter 7. We just read in the last program we just did, Mark 7, verses 24 through 30. We're going to look at that again. We're still talking about it. And this is something that is not, that I've never seen before. Andy's the one that picked up on it. I was thinking about other details. And this is another straightaway where a woman that her daughter is ailing from mental problems. She needs help. But we didn't mention where he is. He arose and went away. And it doesn't say he brings his disciples with him. But where, something so unusual that has not happened before. And what's that unusual thing that you picked up, Andy?
He goes to the borders of Tyre and Sidon.
Doesn't say whether he goes over it, but he's
maybe, he's right there.
Or maybe he is over the border. Because I think even in the Kings and so on about David dealing with this, and there were some people that were part this country and part Jewish. And there was one that was very skilled. It was Solomon. Then when he was building the temple, this one skilled artisan, I think his father was from this country and his mother maybe was from Judea. I can't remember exact details, but it was like a half birth. And yet—
Was that Hiram?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
That I'm thinking of.
Okay.
Wasn't his father a Sidonian?
Yeah.
And it's kind of interesting that would come up in my head. It's not something I keep right in my frontal lobe here. That's like one way back. You know, it's kind of like maybe outside of my head in a hair back there that all of a sudden popped in my head. And so what happens, Andy?
It's interesting. He says he enters into a house and would have no one know it. And he could not be hid.
But so he's in another country maybe even.
In somebody's house. And he was hiding. He just wanted to go be quiet.
But he didn't even take his disciples there because he's out of country.
It doesn't say they're there.
Have you ever thought about this before reading the Bible?
No. I never thought about this right here.
Because now we're really keeping track of where he's. I mean, if we're going to walk with him, but now if the disciples didn't know, do we get to know? Because we're in New Testament times.
Well, we're seeing this.
So let's go with him there and see what in the world's going on.
And he couldn't be here. He was in a house and wanted to, and didn't have anybody to know it. But he couldn't be hid.
Do you suppose he's doing like we're doing? We're not looking ahead to Luke because it's not time for this to be revealed, what he's going to be doing. He reveals it in Acts chapter 1 about going into all the world, but he doesn't reveal it maybe to his disciples because it's not their time yet to see it.
Right.
You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria.
So this is the first cracking of the egg, if you would, of that salvation is going to go to the Gentiles.
To the uttermost end of the world.
And this is a first crack. We'll see as it goes along how he talks about it.
There's a lot of surprises looking at the Bible through Ivan Panin's idea that he put in our minds.
And to not run all over the place, but stay where you are.
Stay with Jesus.
And move forward.
Yeah. And but think of this as just the beginning principles. And, but think too that one of the major enemies are people who are Bible teachers and leading people astray. He wasn't focused on people and their habits so much as he was the people that were mishandling the Word of God and His commandments and what God's heart was. They did not have God's heart. They had lips that spoke of God, but their heart was far from Him. Their heart was far from God. Their heart was not given over to desire God.
So he entered into the house and would have no one know it, and he could not be hid. But straightway a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit, having heard of him, came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Greek, Syrophoenician by race, which means she was not a
Jew. Which is of Judea or of—
Of any of that.
Of Israel.
And she asked him that he cast forth the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, let thou first the children be filled, for it is not well to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Now in saying that, she asked him a question, and he said, let the children be filled, or the people in Israel be filled first, and not take it and cast it to the dogs. And they called the outsiders the dogs.
In other words, anybody that was not of Israel.
Which is the dogs. But she answered and says this to him, yea, Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the crumbs of the children. And he said to her, for this saying go, the demon's gone out of your daughter.
So he didn't treat her like a dog.
No, he says, okay.
He treated her like a child.
He said, well, the children, here's the children. Well, I'm one of the children. And Jesus goes, well, you're one of the children.
He adopted her.
And he—
He showed her the adoption is coming.
And he didn't go to do this to the girl. He just says, the saying says go, the demon's gone out of your daughter. It was done just like that. And she went away to her house and found the child laid upon the bed and the demon gone out. So he cast that demon out and didn't even go there, just said the words and it happened.
Just to say it on the earth, even in proximity, not right there, maybe not even in the child's hearing.
Distance wasn't a problem for
him. No. It was not one problem at all.
No.
He didn't have cell phones back there or TVs or Zoom. And again, he went out from the borders. And where did he go now?
To Tyre, and came through Sidon.
No, he went out from the borders of Tyre, yeah.
He went out from the borders of Tyre and came through Sidon into the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the borders of Decapolis.
Okay.
And they bring him one deaf and with a speech impediment, and they beseech him to lay hands upon him, and he took him aside from the crowd privately. And he put his fingers into his ears and spat and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and says to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened, and the bond of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them to tell no one, but the more he charged them so much more, a great deal they published it. And they were beyond measure astonished, saying, he has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak.
Well, we just had a moment. We just took a moment to go double check Tyre and Sidon. And we found out through looking at a map, we can't tell you what the Bible says. But I knew back in Kings, I think it was in Kings, when they hire him to do some— to create different things for Solomon's temple, he was brought from Tyre and Sidon, which were not in Israel. And we just looked at a map, and we were actually correct. But we just wanted to double check that so we weren't saying something unusual. But this is unusual. He went out. It doesn't say he took his disciples, and probably because he's in another country. There's something that he had freedom to do, but they did not have freedom to do because they weren't yet born up. And the time to go into other countries, you'll witness in Jerusalem and then unto the uttermost ends of the earth, that was not open to man yet until the book of Acts. But here Jesus does it, and I think he was giving us a foreshadow of what he is, what we will be able to do, and that's preach the gospel to the uttermost ends of the earth.
And the next context says, and again he went out from the borders of Tyre and came through Sidon into the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the borders of Decapolis. And that's, we looked into that, and that shows that he's back into
Galilee.
He's into Israel.
He's
now
into Israel.
Yes.
And have we read that one yet?
Yeah.
Yeah, we just read that one. And what'd you pick up out of that one, Andy?
Go ahead.
I didn't have anything.
I'll read it.
Because I was so busy dissecting Tyre and Sidon and so on.
Okay, I'll just read it. And they bring him one deaf with a speech impediment, and they beseech him to lay his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the crowd privately, and he put his fingers into his ears and spat and touched his tongue, and looking up into heaven, he sighed and says to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened, and the bond of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plain. And he charged them that they tell no one, but the more he charged them, so much more, a great deal, they published it. And they were beyond measure astonished, saying, he has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak.
Here he is being a doctor again. And yet he does this privately. He doesn't bring any nurses or aides or whatever with him. He does this privately. And he does some unusual things, like spitting and putting fingers in people's ears. And that's an uncomfortable thing to allow somebody to put their fingers in their ears. But he doesn't need a speech or a hearing specialist. It sounds, too, like if he had a speech impediment, sometimes it's in people's hearing. You know, that...
They can't hear, though you can't speak.
Even though it doesn't say it, I'll bet you he had a hearing problem and also his tongue was... He was tongue-tied. So there...
Well, he said he was deaf.
Yeah. And
his ears ears didn't work.
I was still back at Tyre and Sidon.
Sorry.
You guys have a picture of us how we are sometimes when we're studying the scriptures. We get so focused on one thing. I'm still back on Tyre and Sidon.
Well, that's exciting when you're shown something that you didn't know.
Yeah. And Andy's fingers are in this guy's ears. Well, he's with Jesus. He's walking with Jesus. And This is an interesting, how many times have you thought about the scripture when you get to it, about him sticking his fingers in the guy's ears, spitting, and then touching his tongue?
That one always just gets me. I'm just like, really? Because what did they ask him to do?
Well, I'm going to think of a scripture. I'll tell you the thing that hits me right between the eyes. The things that are foolish to God are wise to a man. They're above man's wisdom.
Right.
Man's wisdom is foolishness to God. Even the fool, it says, God says that even the things you would think would be foolish are way above man's wisdom. It's way above it. And if you ever figure this one out, would you please let me know? I've never, we're to follow him in everything. I've not found myself ever sticking my fingers in people's ears. And what did he do to his tongue? And touching a person's tongue and spitting.
Well, this is now coming to your attention, so.
So you're saying I might have to do it?
Here you go.
You know what? I thought the same thing.
I can remember. Okay, I'm going to do this now. I can remember one time that I remember this happening, that someone was led by the Holy Spirit to literally touch people's tongues, like they lay hands on them, on their tongue, and to make them, they did this so their tongue could be kinder, that the kindness would come into their tongue. The law of kindness would be there. Now,
I don't remember that.
Well, I'm just amazed that you don't, because
I don't honestly remember that.
You're the one that somebody did it to.
Oh, was that Ray?
No.
Was it Carol Lee?
Yes.
My wife.
When we were up in Canada.
You know what? I do remember it now.
Okay, I brought it back.
I'm 77. I don't remember everything.
So that happened to you one time. And then you go, oh, really? And I said, and you go, here, Andy. And you had me open my mouth. And you touched my tongue that the law of kindness would be on my tongue. And then for the other people that were there, because this was done in a private place because it just came up. And then we went down to the other 10 or 12 men that were there and did that. You remember that?
You know what's funny? I was listening to this. I was listening to this.
Oh, the people that listen to this go, wow, you guys do stuff. Well, the Holy Spirit will show you to do things. And here we're talking about this. And this was 15 years ago.
I've been married to Carol Lee, my wife, this last December, and I lost her. And she's my childhood sweetheart. Well, I was young-hearted at age 23 when I met and married her. And we were married for 52 and a half years, and the Lord took her home. And I will tell you, she had the law of kindness was on her tongue. I've never met a person like my wife, and she was not religious, but she giggled a lot. She was a happy person. I think she was a genius. She was extremely smart, kind of like Gracie Allen. She was happy, and so you'd think maybe she wasn't the smartest person, but she was a very happy person. She was extremely intelligent, and she did not say bad things about people. 52 and a half years. And even when people did some really crazy things, she watched what she said about it. I'd never seen the like of her.
And so God had her, this woman that was like that, do this.
It affected a lot of people. A lot of people talk about, you know, my wife, about that. They remember her for that. But what was funny is when we were reading this, I was thinking, of course, we try to copy Jesus, and I actually wasn't going to go into this in detail, but I actually thought about me having to do that someday if I am in a place and the Lord tells me to do that. Would I do that? And of course we will. But I didn't remember. I don't remember
and
that
it was,
we did
and
that.
And it was privately.
Yeah. I don't remember.
It was
us
up
doing
in a
that.
Room. Privately, not around a whole crowd.
Yeah, it's back. It's that one's way back in the back of my head. But you did revive it, so. Okay.
And the people now, when they saw what was wrong, they brought him to Jesus, and notice what they said. They asked him to lay his hand upon him. That was what their request was, because they've been watching it. He's laying hands on people. He's doing this, and they were doing that. And they asked Jesus to do this, but Jesus didn't do that. He took him privately and did this. And the outcome, they were amazed at the outcome, but they weren't privy to exactly what he did.
And Andy, I just saw, actually you sinned in this.
What did I do?
It says, and he charged them not to tell anyone.
He said them. He didn't say it to me.
Well, you just read it. Well, come on, Andy.
But isn't it funny?
Yeah, that is. Why is that so far back? But I have a really distant memory. I do remember it now, but that one was way back there. Chapter 8.
We are now entering into chapter 8, and we have finished that 7-chapter-long.
Oh, yeah.
We are finished. Now we are through with the ands, all of these things that are ands. This one is ended now.
That started in Mark 8. It came to pass in those days. So this is the end of those days. I'm going to put that in my Bible. End of no days, because there's no more end.
It went from Mark 1:9 all the way over to Mark 7:37.
Mark 1:9.
To Mark 7:37.
In those days, look at all those chi's, and it, the plus, or you can say plus, plus, plus this happened, plus that happened. It's that whole journey. Now here's, this one begins with, it came to pass in those days again. Isn't that an interesting
way to go again?
That there was again a great again. Look at that. So this is the beginning of another, let's see. The next context is to say,
and.
Here's another string in this passage.
It's going on.
Oh, you're kidding me.
It's going on through chapter 10.
We have never paid attention to this
chapter
before.
It's keeping going through chapter 11. It's keeping going through chapter 12. Kill.
I've never seen this. Only
all the way to chapter.
You know what?
13.
You know what? I did see this before. I'll tell you what. Why? When I saw it.
What?
I was doing Revelation, and I saw all this compilation
of
ands.
You did see that string in Revelation.
And then I looked. I'm going, I'll bet you this is no other place in the Bible. And I did see this, and I didn't. It wasn't time for me to see this, but I tell you what, if you'd have asked me back then, I couldn't remember which book in the other book I saw it.
But you saw it somewhere.
But here we are, and here's the other one. And when Revelation opened up to us, and I could see all that.
You told me that other about 7 years ago about Revelation. I was in the backyard in my house.
About the end,
You were telling me that. And I go, oh, okay, I see what you mean.
And I saw it in another book, but it wasn't time for that.
So that was 6 or 7 years ago.
Yeah.
That you told me the one about Revelation. I know where I was when you told me that.
And
I was standing in my backyard. I remember exactly when it, and people think, oh, you don't remember exactly when it was. I don't remember exactly, but I know where I was, and I know where I lived at the time, and I can tell you what season it was.
Isn't that funny, though? But walking with him, we're starting to pay attention of where he was.
Yeah.
And isn't it interesting, too, towards the end of Matthew, he's heading right for Jerusalem and right for the temple, and then he's going to die on the cross. This has been interesting in the book of Mark.
And this goes with this and goes, the next and goes to chapter 13, verse 28.
And that's the end of that.
Yep.
Well, we have time to start this.
The one? Oh, sure.
So let's do it. Mark 8:1-10. This has been a fun journey. You know that?
In those days when there was a great crowd.
Oh, wait a second. You left out a word. There was again a great crowd.
Oh, excuse me. In those days when there was again a great crowd and they had nothing to eat, he called unto him the disciples and says to them, I pity the crowd because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I dismiss them fasting to their home, they will faint on the way. And some of them are from afar. And his disciples answered him, whence shall one be able to fill these men with loaves here in this desert place? And he asked them, how many loaves are there? And he said, 7. So he commanded the crowd to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves, and having given thanks, he brake and gave to his disciples and set before them, and they set them before the crowd. And they had a few small fishes, and having blessed them, he bid these also to be set before them. And they ate and were filled, and they took up 7 hampers of leftover fragments. And there were about 4,000, and he dismissed them, and straightway he entered into the boat with his disciples and came to the parts of Dalmanutha.
Well, we found out one thing, that they were in the laundromat. I've never seen this before either. Well, they took up 7 hampers. Isn't that where you throw your dirty clothes?
Oh, yeah, there you go.
I mean, that's what we call it. A hamper. What's a hamper? Is it like a basket? Maybe maybe it was a basket, the shape of a laundry basket or whatever. But I never saw that hamper before, but we are not accustomed to reading Panons all the way through like this. We usually use a New American Standard, New English Version, and there's some other good ones out there. We don't use the Living Word or the Modern Language Bible. They're not good. In those days, now we're starting a whole nother string of us following with Jesus. And here's now it's after Jesus started healing people and becoming the doctor that would heal people that couldn't speak well and people in, he was healing people right and left. So now it's a great crowd and they hadn't eaten in 3 days. They've proven actually that you can go 3 days without food. You can drink water and you can fast, and it actually can be healthy. You can cleanse your body in 3 days, but you don't want to go beyond that. If you do, it becomes dangerous what you could do to your body. And isn't it? And maybe they picked that up here in the scriptures. I actually tried, the only fast I ever tried was for 3 days, and it did seem to help me. And they've been continuing, and they were any more than that, and Jesus said they'd be faint, and he's the creator. He knows man.
Because some of them came a long ways, he said. He knows it's going to take them longer than to get back home.
They're out there. They're in a desert place. It says that. How are we going to find a bakery in the desert place? But this time, they had more loaves. It hadn't said yet.
He says, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7.
So they had 2 whole more loaves.
Woo. And he commanded the crowd to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves. And
they have to sit down again? What's he telling? When he tells them to sit down, what is there? Is he really saying he's going to do?
Serve them.
Isn't that, he's going to feed them. Isn't that, here's the God, the creator. Isn't that tender?
Yeah.
Sit down.
They're hungry.
Yeah.
Well, why is he going to feed them? Because they're hungry.
They had a few. Not just 2 fishes. They had a few.
And he gave the disciples, and they had a few small fishes. And having blessed them, he bid these also to be set before them. And they ate and were filled, and they took up 7 hampers of leftover garments, fragments. And they were about 4,000, and he dismissed them. And straight away he entered into the boat with his disciples and came to the parts of Dalmanutha.
So here's that immediately again. Immediately he leaves them, but more fish, 1,000 less people, and more loaves of bread, 2 more loaves of bread. And
so this is all about feeding the people that had been following him for 3 days. And then he fed them, and then he left.
And it means to be also not conscious of their physical needs, but also their spiritual and physical needs. He takes care of all of it. He's a dad.
And nothing else is mentioned in this, that he did anything else but feed them.
Right. And we've come to a close as to time. It's been wonderful having you join us on this journey that we're taking with Jesus. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.